this week's seen a growing list of food items being recalled after E. coli and listeria were detected in products ranging from ground beef to sprouts, walnuts, and hummus. We've asked a food scientist to help us understand what to watch out for, how we can stay safe, and what's going on, especially as we head into Memorial Day weekend. Barbara Ingham is a UW Extension food scientist and professor in the Department of Food Science. Her focus is on consumer food safety and quality. Barbara, thanks for joining us here in the studio.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, a weird mix of recalls here, not related to each other, apparently. What's being recalled and why?
You're right. There are a wide variety of products. So we have some ground beef recalled. That's probably a little more standard. We've seen recalls larger than this one, certainly over the last 10, 15, 20 years. But then there's some newer products. The hummus is a little bit different. Walnuts, there was a huge national recall related to peanuts not long ago. This happens to be a different organism with walnuts. So we're seeing some foods that we maybe haven't seen before. The sprouts, like the E. coli or like the ground beef, are a product that, at least in the food safety community, we've been concerned about for a while. Those are problematic.
We'll get into those in a bit, but I want to start with beef, a big grilling weekend,
right?
Obviously. 1.8 million pounds of ground beef products, according to the USDA, are being recalled. You mentioned E. coli. First, this is a big number. It sounds like a lot of pounds of beef. In the scope of beef consumption in the United States, how big a number is that?
So this isn't a very big recall, but I think it heightens consumer awareness. And really, in some ways, it's a perfect time of year because you're right. I think there'll be a lot of burgers going on the grill this weekend. With products like this, ground beef in particular, cooking is really key. Proper cooking, the endpoint temperature for ground beef hamburgers is 160 degrees.
Now, as a griller, I've heard the legend, the one-flip technique. Never flip your ground beef patty more than once. Food safety people, what do you say about that?
So food safety people say use a thermometer. That's the only way you can tell. I was with colleagues this week, and we were trying to figure out, you know, can you touch your hand? There's people who have all sorts of different things. But if you're with a food safety group, they're going to tell you a thermometer at 160 degrees is a safe internal temperature.
Now, before we get to the heat source, the grill, the stove top, safe meat handling instructions. We're making those patties probably with our hands. What should we be careful about?
So there are generally four basic steps for any food safety hazard that we might see. So those are clean, cook, chill, and separate. They're easy to remember and pretty easy to do. So if you're handling raw meat, washing your hands first and then cleaning up afterwards so that you don't spread contamination for a hamburger patty that you'll hopefully cook to maybe something that you won't cook, like lettuce. Keeping things cold, cleaning things, especially that plate that goes out to the grill. The plate that carried the raw hamburgers out should not be exactly the same one unless it's cleaned before it brings the cooked patties back.
I tend to think of that plate as like almost a biohazard. I like gingerly just put it right in the dishwasher and, yeah, wash my hands 8 times before I go on to anything else.
Right. You'd be amazed at the people who either serve the marinade as a sauce without heating it. There's a lot of amazing and unfortunate food handling practices that people attempt.
But you're not, we shouldn't be afraid of ground beef and avoid it solely because of a recall like this, as long as we're safe?
This is correct. And I think, you know, recalls, even if people are, they've seen illnesses, they often encompass a very large amount of product that probably isn't at all contaminated. The company brings that back to help ensure consumer safety. In this case, as with other types of pathogens that we might see in ground beef, proper cooking will absolutely ensure that the pathogen is destroyed.
No steak tartare, no raw beef.
Correct.
Okay. Let's move to the hummus. This is a new and kind of weird one, you said. Just shy of 15,000 pounds of hummus and other dips. What happens? How does that get contaminated, or do we even know yet?
Well, the organism that is the causative agent of the illnesses they've linked to this is Listeria monocytogenes. It is an organism unlike things like Salmonella and pathogenic E. coli. This one happens to be an environmental contaminant. It lives and is very happy in processing environments. It likes to live in drains and on conveyor belts and those kind of things. So we see this often linked to like dairy type products, but we would expect that a food processing environment could quite easily harbor something like Listeria monocytogenes. when hummus is prepared, it's considered ready to eat. And mm-hmm. so once it's packaged or after there's heat treatment, if the product becomes contaminated, there's not another kill step. And that's where Listeria really does its damage.
So from a consumer safety perspective, we're not all going to start microwaving our hummus to kill pathogens. What can we do?
I think paying attention to recalls mm-hmm. is really great. And I think, you know, sharing information like this does heighten consumer awareness. And that's what we need to do. Consumers tend to not pay attention to recalls. So this is a good one, especially this weekend when dips like this are probably going to be served at family gatherings.
And by the way, we've got a link to the USDA's recall information page. It's on the Central Time Facebook page. You can click over and check out the hummus you bought. Most hummus is fine.
Right. It's just these particular brands. I would imagine many grocery stores and retail outlets have notice of this, and they've posted signs. But and the use-by dates, I noticed, for these products were a while ago. So maybe it might have been almost a month ago to a couple of weeks ago. So hopefully people don't have those products around. I think one thing I'd like to add, though, is consumers, especially for ready-to-eat products like luncheon meats, dairy products, and those kind of things, if it's considered ready-to-eat, if there's a date on it, even though those dates are often quality dates, it's really important to pay attention to those, especially at these times in the summer where pathogens tend to grow really well.
Now, how about the sprouts?
Sprouts, for those of us in the food safety community, those are classified with raw oysters and a do not consume. You could certainly cook sprouts. They're no longer raw. They're not going to provide that crunch to your salad and sandwich. I think certainly as a baseline, you'd say those who are very young children, those who are elderly, pregnant women, and those with compromised immune systems, because they couldn't deal with the level of contamination, shouldn't consume sprouts. Really, anybody should probably take a second thought, but it's generally not harmful.
Why are sprouts susceptible to problems?
Sprouts, they spend their life at the beach, so they're grown in very warm, moist environments, and the pathogens just take off. Those are perfect growing conditions for any kind of bacteria, including pathogens.
We also mentioned there are walnuts on there. And again, check out all those recalls. The link is on the Central Time Facebook page. Want to get into, we ate something, we're feeling bad. What do we watch for? When should we be reporting to the doctor if we're worried about Listeria or E. coli? And do we call the local public health department? How does the USDA know that there's a problem?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for many foodborne illnesses, healthy adults, we might have a little bit of an upset stomach. You don't know if it's just you ate too much, you just don't feel very good. Maybe there's some vomiting and diarrhea, but it goes away pretty quickly. For those who are more at risk, it's certainly much more severe. Listeria tends to present, unless it's a pregnant woman, with maybe just a little bit of what we're going to call a flu-like symptom, just a bit gastrointestinal distress. Pregnant women, it's very problematic. There can be spontaneous abortion, problems with the fetus. For these others, with E. coli 0157H7, the other E. coli 0121, after a couple of days, there may be some bloody diarrhea. If you see that, it's a really great time to call the doctor's office.
Always a good time to call the doctor's office, definitely. And now, you just mentioned a couple of strains of E. coli. How many strains are you juggling as a food science person? How many are out there, and how big a moving target is it?
Well, there's over 100 of pathogenic E. coli strains. The 0157H7 is the one that we've known about for about 20 years and has been extensively researched. There are about six other non-0157 toxin-producing E. coli that are also on the radar screen for public health officials and food safety officials. We're beginning to understand these. We've only had a couple of years to try to respond to either the meat industry or the Food and Drug Administration, but I know that there are those of us who are studying these. They tend to behave the same as 0157H7, but maybe harbor in slightly different food products.
All right. We'll leave it there. Thank you, Barbara, so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Barbara Ingham, a UW Extension food scientist and professor in the Department of Food Science, giving us some safety advice and some explanations behind some food recalls lately.